Church, it's great to see you today. I am so excited that we are here. I'm so excited that we have been in worship to our Father in song, that we have gathered around His table and been able to partake in the Lord's Supper together. And let me just say about the Lord's Supper, I appreciate Jeff, did a great job. But it's easy. You know, I've heard people say before, well, you do it every week, you know, how do you focus? Well, let me tell you, when you think about what Jesus has done for us, it makes us that much more powerful. But when I can sit during the Lord's Supper and hear a child singing Pat the Bible, 1, 2, 3, I tell you, that's easy to focus. Mamas, thank you for having that baby here. Daddies, thank you. Grandmas, grandpas, that's encouraging. But we've been able to read Scripture, we've been able to have prayer together, and now's come the time we're going to study even further together. And I'm encouraged that we have this opportunity. But let me just say, before we go any further, please continue to remember our brother Lance's dad in your prayers. We want to continue to remember Mr. Shavers, who is making having a battle ahead of him. But we serve a big God and certainly want to remember them. But I'm also encouraged today to be able to look over to my right, your left, and see Sister Judy Helton. Wow, what a great day it is, Sister Judy, to be able to see you here today. Sister Judy, you know, has battled, but she is a fighter, and we serve a big God, and Brother Larry is faithful and with her, and it's just a great day to be able to have her with us. Make sure you get to tell her how much you appreciate seeing her today. There are so many others that I'm glad to see. But today's sermon is not necessarily a sermon that I enjoy preaching. You know, I'd love to come in here and just all the time talk about how good we are and how great we are and all that. But the reality is sometimes we've got to have some rubber meet road type sermons. And today is one of those sermons. I invite you to turn in your Bibles. I'm sorry, I butchered the Scripture reading. Carl, you did a great job. But I had Matthew 7, 12, and 13 on there, but I really wanted 13 and 14. I know Carl is probably confused as all get out because I was too. But turn in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you remember the Sermon on the Mount. These are the words of Christ. Christ was able to take this teaching and its greatest sermon ever preached because it is so applicable to our lives today. But here He's getting ready to conclude the Sermon on the Mount. And you know what He does before He concludes it? He has this time for the rubber to meet the road. It's time to get real. It's time to call it what it is. And He says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way." One version puts, "Easy is the way," and I like that version too. "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Folks, when it comes down to what really matters in life, listen, I know we make decisions every day. You're going to make, if you haven't already, you're going to make decisions with where you're going to stay to eat. Oh, by the way, let me plug this. If you're in the working with children at home group or you just want to be in that group, it doesn't matter. We're staying today afterwards. Please stay with us. We're going to have food. You didn't even have to cook today. So what a blessing that is, I hope. But stay afterwards, and we're going to talk about how we can help each other. So that's a decision to make, right? It's a decision to make if you're going to go to work tomorrow. Some of you are thinking, no, I don't have a choice. No, we have a choice. We have a choice whether you're going to get up and go to work tomorrow. We have a choice whether you're going to get up and go to school. I know right now you're thinking, I know what choice I'd make. But ultimately, we have choices. We make choices every day. But let me say this as clear as I can, there is no choice greater than whether I'm going to go the narrow way or the broad way. There is no choice greater today than that choice. Am I going to choose a life with God, a life eternal, or am I going to choose a life with Satan, a life in hell? Now, before you say any more, I know that's an easy choice. It's not an easy choice for some. But I want to show you what God wants us to choose. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1 in verse 12, we have these words. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the man, who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I'm going to repeat that verse. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, here's the beautiful thing about this verse. That word for crown is really the Greek word stephanos. Okay, stephanos. That is the same idea that when they ran the race and they were victorious, they would receive a wreath or some type of crown that they would put upon their heads or their necks, and they would say, look, here is the one who is victorious. So here's what, when we can put that in that type thought process, using the word stephanos, not the word crown, here's what you can see. You can see this, that when we run the Christian race, and we run it not on our own, but with God helping us every step of the way, when we run that race, at the finish line, we're waiting to be crowned the victor. You see, really, the race has already been won. Because when Christ went to the cross, and He bled, He suffered, He died, and He was agonized up on that cross, He was in pain, He was in discomfort, He was in misery. And when He died and He went in that grave dead, can't you see Satan like, yeah. Satan think, I won. Death is of me and I killed God. But oh, Sunday was coming. And up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. Jesus Christ came out of the grave alive. He came back from the dead, and that gave us the stephanos. It gave us the opportunity today to be victorious. But let me say this. Not everyone will be victorious. Here's where we are in life. Everybody today, and listen, millennials, I love you. I do. I love our millennial group. They are the strength of the church. They are the strength. But here's what they have been taught, and every generation after them have been taught, that everybody's winners. Hey, listen, you didn't win little Susie or Johnny. That's okay. You're a winner in my book. There's no losers. Everybody gets a trophy. And listen, I understand that thought process. I understand that you don't want to disappoint or what have you. But you know what we're doing? If we bring that over in the church, we're teaching false doctrine. Not everybody's going to receive the crown. Not everybody is going to be able to believe and participate and go to heaven. Folks, it's just the way it is. And we have got to understand that. That is not the way it is when it comes to eternal life. Trophies are great. Participation is great, but we still have to understand we've got to be victorious. We've got to be the winners. Now, let me tell you something else. You know I love Rocky, okay? And recently, Bo's got me back into watching it again. And so let me tell you just a little bit. If you don't know Rocky, I know it's make-believe, but in my heart of hearts, he's real, okay? In Rocky 1, trust me, I'm not totally crazy, just a little bit. But in Rocky 1, it's 1976, okay? And it's the bicentennial, and the champion, Apollo Creed, wants to give some underdog, his opponent can't fight, and he wants to give some underdog a shot. Well, that underdog happens to be Rocky Balboa. And Rocky's fought in these gyms, and he's just a clumsy boxer. Well, in the first Rocky, All he wants to do is go the distance. Nobody had ever gone the distance with Apollo Creed. And so back then they went 15 rounds. And he went 15 rounds with the champion of the world. But at the end of it, guess what? Rocky didn't win. So they made Rocky II. And in Rocky II, Apollo said there wasn't going to be a rematch, but there is going to be a rematch. Well, it comes a point in time, Rocky gets married, has a lot of things happen in his life, and his wife gets pregnant with their child. Well, she goes into an early delivery, and the baby's okay, but Adrian goes into a coma. And before she goes into the coma, she didn't want Rocky fighting again. She didn't want him to box. She wanted him to get this other job, but she comes up out of the coma, and Rocky's been there, and she looks up at him. She says, I want you to do something for me. You know what she says? She says, I want you to go the distance with Creed again. No, she doesn't. She says, I want you to quit boxing. No, she doesn't. She says, I want you to win. Win. And so he made these shirts. Win, Rocky, win. And then he goes out and he wins. But the reality is, Jesus Christ came up out of the grave, and he looked us in the face and he said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to win. In Revelation, he said it. This was him revealing himself to a church that was really struggling, that was really hurting. And he said, address it to the overcomers. The overcomers. That doesn't mean that you failed. That means that you won. You took on whatever the devil threw at you, and you won. Let me also tell you, that right there is hard to win. Jason Smith and Tally Haynes run a great program. I'm just using this. Some of you, I know my buddy Lucas has got about 50 of these for Madison Academy, okay? But the point of it is, that's a state championship ring. Michael, where are you, buddy? It's hard to win, isn't it, brother? Michael was a junior. He's like, thanks, Terry, bringing this up again. Michael was a junior in high school, and we went to the Final Four, and we are on a team, and we've got a good team, and we get in the loser's bracket right off the bat. But then we catch fire, and we start winning. And we win a game, and we win the next game, and next thing we know, we're playing the team that is in the state finals, are undefeated, and we beat them in the first game. And so now there's one final elimination game of the day. And we're going to be state champions. In high school, I did not get a class ring. When I was an eighth grader, the Mary Montgomery had a team that went 34-1. They were ranked 13th in the country by USA Today. In the country now. They were 34-1. They go to Vestavia Hills and lose both games. It's hard to win. But I'm thinking, we're going to win the state championship. Well, I graduate high school from I didn't graduate from Mary Montgomery, but I graduate from Mobile Creek. I go to two high schools, I don't win. So now I'm thinking, I'm going to get that ring. They score one run in the first inning, and they beat us 1-0. We didn't get big old rings for coming in second place. It's hard to win. That's why he said, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to life. But today, I want us to look at this passage, and I want us to break it down with some hard truths. Some rubber meets the road, and I want us to all leave here striving to gain the Stephanos. We want the crown. We want the championship. We want to be the victors. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be hellbound. I don't want to go the broad way, but it comes a point in time when we've got to question it. And here goes. If you look at the passage, Matthew chapter 7, back in verse 13, here's what you see. This is number one. Hell's path is wide. Hell's path is wide. You know what that means? As many people can get on that path, can get on that path. It is very, very large. It is very, very, I picture Hell's Path. If you're looking at a road, it's a very large road. It's a very smooth road. It doesn't have a lot of potholes in it. It's as smooth as you can ride. It's kind of like being out in the water. It's as slick as glass, okay? You're going to be able to ride as far as you want. You know, there's water stations at every, or Coca-Cola or Gatorade or whatever you want. Every few minutes, you can stop and get a drink. There's all these easy things when it comes to going to hell. There's a lot of easy ways. There's a lot of ways to go to hell. You don't realize that? There are a lot of ways. That's why it's broad. Well, no, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I believe in God. I'm okay. Well, guess what? So do the demons. So does Satan. Satan believes. It's easy to just believe. It's easy to just be a pretty decent person. Those are things that the devil wants you to believe. Hey, you're fine. Everything's okay. You know, when it comes to Hell's Path, when we're walking on that path, not only is it smooth, not only is it wide, we're not even crowded, you know. Even though there are a lot of people on it, it's so wide. I got my own space. It's just fine. It's not even hot. It's like I got my own little personal air conditioner flowing. Okay? Well, not only is it that, guess what else Hell's Path is? Hell's Path, we're our own boss. I'm in control. You know, if I want to stop right here and just enjoy the things, the pleasures around me, then I can do that. I'm my own boss. You know, I'm in charge. I don't have to listen to anybody else. You know, I don't have to listen to a boss. I don't have to listen to a wife. I don't have to listen to a husband. I don't have to listen to anybody because I'm in control. I'm calling the shot. I'm going to do it my way. That's what the song says. I did it my way. Well, see, that way will lead to hell. The rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. The rich man fared sumptuously. That means he had it made. He had food, he had clothes, he had the house. He had everything you could see today. It was his. He did it his way. But poor old Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor man, dedicated to the law, dedicated to God, but he just didn't have anything. The rich man's walking down the road doing it his way. He feels good. Lazarus, he's kind of in his sights. Even though Lazarus was begging, he's like, you know, I'm not even going to give him the crumbs from my table. I don't want anything to do with that man. I don't want anything to have him near me. He might have disease. He might have something else. These crumbs are not even going to him. Lazarus is so miserable that he lays out there and dogs have to come and lick his sores. Well, the rich man dies. He gets to the end of the smooth path. And he wakes up in hell. He wakes up in torment. He wakes up miserable. He wakes up longing for Lazarus, who, by the way, he's in Abraham's bosom. He longs for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water just to put it on his tongue. When it comes down to it, rubber meets the road, Abraham says, while you were on earth, you had your good things. Lazarus had his bad. Now this is where your path ended. That's Terry's words. Here's where your road ended. So I want to counter hell's path being wide with what Jesus said. Jesus said his way, the way, is narrow. Here's what else we need to see about the way being narrow. No, it doesn't look as nice. No, it's got some potholes in it. It's got some rugged terrain. It's not got the water and cooling stations and all that stuff in it. But there's only one path. There's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So today, if somebody makes a discussion with you and says, no, my God can get me to heaven, and His name is not Jehovah or Yahweh, he can't get him there. Oh, I can get there through this man or through this prophet or through this idol or through this false god or through whatever. No, you can't. We can only get there through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It's His road, His path. And we've got to make a decision. Do I want easy things on earth, but at the end of it is hell? Or do I want to go through struggles on earth and the end of it's heaven? You see, that's as simple as we can put it. Because when we take the narrow way, we're not our own boss. Jesus Christ is King. He's in control. He is the one that calls the shots. So we've got to make a decision when it comes to making a choice. Which path do I want to choose? Do I want to be in control? Do I want to have it my way? Do I want to have comfort? Do I want to have it this and that? And then at the end of it, go to hell? Or do I want to put myself in God's life? I want to give myself over to Him. I want to go through the struggles. I want to go through the hard times. I want to go through the heartache. And at the end of it, get the Stephanos. Get the crown of life. There's another point that we can see about hell in this, and that is this. Hell's path is easy. I believe a lot of versions say it's broad. One version says His path is easy right there. You know, James Rogers and I we graduated together at Mobile Christian. And James and I have talked about this before. We've reminded ourselves there was a chapel where a man, I don't remember his name, but he was a teacher there at the time. He came to chapel and spoke, and he said, "You want me to tell you what you have to do to go to hell?" And he said, "Absolutely nothing." And that was the end of the chapel. And that's right. There's a lot of ways to go to hell. A lot of ways. It's easy. It's easy to go to hell. It really is. In fact, the way I view it is this. If you've been to Disney World, you know what I'm talking about, or Universal Studios. You're walking, you're tired, you're miserable, you know, and all of a sudden you get to these things that they're like, they walk for you. You just stand on them. And they're like escalators, but they don't go any. I mean, they don't go up or down. They just guide you all the way. You know, and you just stand there and you just enjoy, and people are going and they're rushing and all that. That's kind of the way it is to hell. You just get on cruise control. And you do whatever you want. Or you don't have to do anything. Think about this. There are a lot of ways I can sin and go to hell, but there are also things I can just be a pretty good person and still go to hell. I can not cheat on my wife. I can not cheat on my taxes. I can not, you know, I don't have to kill anybody. You know, I don't have to say bad word. I can be a pretty good moral person and still lose my soul. Jesus Christ said, "Many will call on Him, Lord, Lord, but only few will enter." What does He mean by that? He means this, that there are a lot of people that are going to call on Him and say that they're okay. But when it comes down to it, hell's path is really easy. How do we counter that? Well, the way, God's way, is challenging. So far, if you're talking just a worldly person, they're still choosing hell. They're still choosing the broad path. None of this sounds real easy. The way is challenging. You know what He said? He said, you've got to make sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means like I'm going to put myself on the altar every single day. I'm going to decide to give up the ways of the world, the easy way, hell's way. I'm going to give all that up so I can make sacrifice to God every day. That means there are certain things I can't watch. There are certain things I can't partake in. There are certain things I can't put in my body. There are certain things I can't let come out of my mouth. Those are sacrifices I have to make. And I've got to be willing to do it. You see, this road has potholes. This road has unstable ground sometimes. Maybe we'll trip over our own 2 feet because we're clumsy and we mess up. But the reality is, if we'll endure the challenge, we'll make the sacrifice, the end road is a beautiful thing. What else did he say? Here's where it all really comes to a head. Remember, you've got the Broadway, you've got the smooth pavement, you've got the drink stations, you've got the air conditioning, you've got the heater when it's cold, you've got it made down the broad path. But at the end of it, what happens? This way, hell's way, leads to destruction. The word destruction is literally the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. That's what the definition is there. The destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. Just for a moment, let me tell you what's at the end of this road. It's an unquenchable fire. When Michelle had Madeline or Beau, I can't remember, one of the two, she had morphine because she had had a C-section. And she would start itching. And she would scratch and 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 scratch, like, why can't I quench this itch? But she never could because the itch was neurological. It wasn't physical. I imagine hell. You know, first of all, we think, well, if I throw something in a fire, it's going to be consumed. That's not the case. It's going to be a fire that is never quenched. I will burn, but not be consumed. Not only will I be in physical pain, I will be in emotional pain. The rich man could see Lazarus. He could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He could see the comfort. What in hell can I see? I believe I'm going to be able to see how great heaven's going to be. And to know that it was right there in my hands and I made the bad decision. And I chose this life. And now I'm miserable in this flame. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, I'm going to hurt. But I'm also going to be in darkness. I'm going to be with Satan. Satan's not going to be my Lord. He's going to be just as miserable as me. But I'm going to be with evil. And I'm going to be with torment. I'm going to be with all this awfulness. That's what the smooth, easy road gets me. It leads to destruction. But God countered it. And He said, the way leads to life. You see, when it comes down to it, there are many who will choose the easy way, the broad way, the easy way, hell's way. There are many today that are choosing this road. You know, and it's not a choice that we make that hey, one day I'm going to go the easy way and one day I'm going to go the hard way. That's not what God wants. Jesus Christ, in fact, said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth if that's the way we are. Make a decision, He said. Which choice will we make? You see, if I get on this easy way and it leads me to hellfire, I've made a bad decision. But the way, Christ's way, God's way, the way. It leads to life. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the ultimate victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As good as that sounds, only few will choose the narrow way. You see, hell's easy. It's easy to go to hell. It's harder to go to heaven. By the way, I don't believe it's as hard to go to heaven as some people make it out to be. But the way the devil wants it to view is this. He said, look, I want you. Let me just tell you, and we'll close with this. God desires relationship. Satan, at one time, was in fellowship, relationship with God. He was in communion with God, if you will. But when he rose with the power to try to overtake the throne, and because God is holy, he developed sin, pride, and he's cast out of heaven. Well, God still wants that relationship, so he makes man. He makes the family. And he joins Adam and Eve together in the Garden of Eden. And you know what the devil did? He slithered his way right into it. Because he knew he couldn't win. Maybe he thought in the back of his mind there's a chance, but ultimately he was told his head would be crushed. But he said, I can do one thing, I can get back at God. I can make people think that my way is the way. And so today he stands all around us using all kinds of forms and saying, hey, I want you. Like, oh, Uncle Sam, I want you. Satan is saying, I want you. But God countered that too. Because Christ died for you. Today, what decision will we make? What path will we choose? Am I going to stay on the easy path? Or am I going to decide today to walk the straight and narrow? Satan wants you. Christ died to save you. Today, let's give our lives to Him as together we stand in